Yeah.
Pretty good. Doing real nice. Still in first place.
Doing a lot of winning lately.
A lot of winning. Swept the Mets. Yeah. Lost today, but swept the Mets, so don't care.
You have Ronald Acuna, who in just about any other year would lead the MVP race.
Almost certainly. He's, you know, the National League's Mike Trout. There's nothing to be too excited about.
Yeah, he's okay. I mean, 30 home runs, 30 steals.
Yeah, he's all right, you know.
Everyone does that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's 21 years old.
It could be better.
Well, you know, I mean, it's okay. You can't be too upset. I mean, you may not make the playoffs this year, but, you know, hangover championship year. There's nothing to be ashamed of there.
Yeah, it just started out so badly for the Red Sox, and yeah, it's hard to overcome that kind of start. The pitching's been bad all year, and this is kind of what happens.
And Chris Sale going down really sucks.
Just rough year for him.
Yeah, I do love him, and always have, but, you know, it's okay. Your team is more than good enough next year. It seems just like bad luck more than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not upset about what the Red Sox have or haven't done this year. World Series championship, baby. Just last year.
Hey, man, flags fly forever.
Like, there you go. No matter, doesn't matter how they come, flags fly forever.
Yes, indeed. So, you know, it should be an exciting end of the season. But we're getting back into the sports rhythm. We were in the sports wasteland.
Yeah. So ends the baseball portion of this edition of Colch and Herald.
Yeah, we got to have one every few weeks for the one person that cares.
Yeah, for that one crossover fan who also likes baseball.
Yeah, exactly. You know, hey, we're crossing leagues. We're open to many perspectives.
You know, three-hour games without a clock, but, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
we're used to clocks when we watch as much La Liga as we do and as much football in general. Before we dive into La Liga, though, Rob, I will take this opportunity to talk a little junk about your Gunners there from Saturday.
Hey, I mean, look.
Wonderful display at Anfield.
Top four spot, baby. This is not a competition. And going into it, hey, we didn't lose 5-0. That was my hope. And we achieved that.
You got your consolation goal.
Hey, that's good. That's great. No clean sheet.
It's almost like a win.
Almost a win. Spurs lost to Newcastle. We already beat Newcastle. Yeah, it was a great weekend. I don't know what you're talking about.
To be fair, that was even worse. Spurs losing at home to Newcastle.
Yes, it was worse.
Like, not even close, really.
Man, we already took care of Newcastle. We're rolling. Yeah. We're laughing.
Just a small bump in the road, you know?
Hey, top four, we're good. We're good, baby. Chelsea and United looking like turd.
Yeah, United.
It's great. Life is great.
Yeah, we can agree on the United slander. I think you and I can that's a mutual interest of ours.
But, yeah, you know, it's all good. We're good. Nothing to worry about. You just worry about City.
Consider it done.
All right, yeah, just worry about that. We're not in the same stratosphere.
It's like the existential threat. The large, looming mind flayer of Manchester City.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was a fun start to the season.
But, you know, Rodri didn't even make Pep's 11 at the weekend.
Yeah, it's interesting. That first couple games for Rodri in the Premier League, it seemed like a lot of the English Premier League fanboys were kind of throwing some shade at our boy. Yeah. I don't really doubt that he's going to be really solid for Man City.
So let's just go into the whip around, shall we?
Yeah, let's get to the real league, shall we?
Yeah, La Liga match day 2 is complete, Rob, and we have new leaders at the top of the table. They are Sevilla. They beat Granada by 1-0, although it probably should have been a draw as Sevilla got away with a late penalty appeal that, in my eyes, was a penalty. But nevertheless, it's not like La Liga has VAR or anything.
Yeah, I forgot it existed.
Nevertheless, Joan Jordan scored the only goal. He's going to be a really good player for Sevilla. He's a good midfielder. And Lopetegui's men off to a good start. 2 wins from 2. 2 clean sheets, although they played 2 teams that aren't expected to be very good this year. Wins are wins. And we'll see what they do in the spring months, because that's kind of traditionally when Sevilla have fallen away in domestic play.
They start the season hot. It's what they do.
Yeah, and there's this hype around him with all the new signings, and then as the season goes along, things kind of fade a bit. So we'll see if this year is any different for them. The other game on Friday was Levante 2, Villarreal 1, a controversial one in Valencia. Gerard Moreno got the party started in the third minute. Villarreal played great. They were really, really good and deserved to win. But Levante were awarded two penalties. Roger Marti converted them both. Villarreal not quite so enthused about that at the end of the match, and they have started the season with a draw and a loss. Yikes.
Not great. Not great for Villarreal, who had a pretty poor season last year as well.
And they've already conceded 6 goals in 2 games. And Alberto Moreno is going to be out for like 6 weeks now.
Shocking. Shocking. No, but yeah, their defense is terrible.
Yeah, former Liverpool great.
Yeah, well, yeah, not even without him, they've got kind of a real mediocre defense. They've got some good players, but not enough.
On Saturday at El Sadar, Osasuna and Eibar played out a goalless draw. Decent start to the year for Osasuna. Points in each of their first 2 games. Real Madrid won. Real Valladolid won. Rob, what's old is new again. Real Madrid throwing it back to the 2014-15 season. Like, virtually everyone who played in that game was on that team. Benzema scored the opener on 82 minutes, but Sergi Guardiola, in the 88th minute, getting the equalizer. Valladolid get their first point at the Bernabeu in 18 years. First time in nearly 2 decades they've taken a point away at Real Madrid. And Marca's front page on Tuesday says Zidane is no longer untouchable. That was fast.
It surely was, wasn't it? weird to see James Rodriguez not wearing the number 10 shirt.
And James picked up an injury in that game as well. Calf strain. Looks like he's going to be out for a couple weeks.
Yeah, they've had a pretty dramatic start to the season. I mean, there's still those rumors swirling that Jovic might be on his way out already on loan. That is so stupid. But classic Real Madrid.
Celta Vigo 1, Valencia 0. Celta were excellent in this one at Balaidos. Gabriel Fernandez scoring the only goal. A really, really neat little back heel flick. Valencia really not good. Rodrigo Moreno did not start. He came on around the hour mark. And yeah, it's all happening still at Mestalla. Winless over their first 2. One of their most important players still being linked with an exit. Yeah, it's not looking so good. The same thing kind of happened last season, but Valencia managed to turn things around in the spring months. We'll see if that happens again. It looks like it may have to at this rate.
Yeah, it feels like they just have a lot of sort of decently mediocre players, you know, like a lot of B-plus sort of players. And I think they obviously thought Gonzalo Guedes was going to be their star, but he really...
He had the injuries last year.
He's been a bit disappointing, really.
Yeah, he had the injuries last year, that kind of set him back. I mean, Valencia have been fourth the last 2 years. This is a team that is good enough to be in Europe, and a coach that should be coaching at any top 4 team in really any of the major leagues. Marcelino is a really, really good coach, but things just not clicking once again at Valencia, and you got to wonder how different it may be, how much tighter the leash may be this year, rather.
Yeah, indeed. Basically, stop playing Kevin Gamero.
usually a good route to success is not playing Kevin Gamero.
Indeed, especially from the start.
The final game on Saturday was Getafe's 1-1 draw with Athletic. 2 goals in the first 15 minutes, one of them from our very own former legend Raul Garcia. He scored the opener for Athletic, and those two teams finished out that draw at the Coliseum. On Sunday, Alaves and Espanyol finished 0-0 at Mendizorosa. Mallorca 0, Real Sociedad 1, a great goal from Martin Odegaard. That actually may have been the goal of the weekend. Beautiful build-up with Porto, formerly of Girona. And La Real getting points in 2 away games to start the season. That's undoubtedly a positive for them.
Yeah, we like their team. I think we talked about it last week. They have a good squad of players. They could almost certainly compete to get in the Europa League this year, I think.
We'll talk about Leganés and Atletico in just a moment. The final game on Sunday was Barcelona 5, Real Betis 2. Antoine Griezmann scoring his first 2 goals for the Catalans. Also set up another for Arturo Vidal. Betis got the opener, and they ended up ruining that, as Barcelona just ran all over them after Nabil Fekir opened the scoring.
It started out so well.
It was going so well, and then Griezmann got the equalizer, and it was never really the same. Anyway, let's circle back to Butarque. One of the Sunday evening games was at that stadium, and it finished Leganés 0, Atletico Madrid 1. The Butarque curse, it has been lifted, Rob. Finally.
It's over.
Atletico go to Leganés and win. Fourth time is the charm. Thank you, Vitolo, for your 71st minute goal.
Yeah, it was, I don't know about you, but I found it a lot more entertaining than last week, even though it was the same scoreline.
It was definitely more interesting than last week. Definitely. In terms of the tactical maneuvering that Cholo did, it was definitely maneuvering. There was a 3-5-2 for a lot of this game. Tomas Lemar and Saúl Ñíguez playing in about three or four different positions apiece.
Yeah.
Both of them getting time basically at left wing back.
And do our eyes deceive us? Three good Simeone substitutions?
Yeah, you know?
Amazing! We ripped them last season. No, but yeah, it was really interesting starting out with the three. And Saul was initially the left wing back, and then Lemar took over for a little bit of time. They seemed to share that role a bit. It was a lot more fluid of a team than we've seen in a long time. Mainly out of necessity, really, but even still, it was nice to see players not just confined to one role.
Yeah, and fluidity, like you said, is tough to achieve against a team like Leganés. And Atletico started the season with two very difficult fixtures. I know that Getafe and Leganés are not household names outside of La Liga, but those are, if you watch La Liga on a somewhat regular basis, those are two very difficult teams to play. We talked about Getafe last week. They qualified for Europa League last year on the strength of being really physical and really rigid and organized and towing that line between, again, overtly physical and just plain dirty. Getafe do that as well as anyone. And then you have Leganés, a place where Atletico have, until Sunday, had never scored from open play. In 270-plus minutes, they had never scored from open play at that stadium. And again, a very defensive manager in Mauricio Pellegrino. They set up in a 5-3-2, very compact, don't give you really any space to work with. And it's difficult, especially with all these new signings that are still getting used to playing with each other. You're not going to go out and put up 10 goals in 2 weeks. It's not happening.
Yeah, and Atleti made some good chances. Besides the goal, it's not like they just had the one chance and took it. I mean, yeah, they created some solid opportunities throughout the match.
Atletico only had 6 shots, but they were a lot like last week against Getafe. They were all high-quality shots.
Yep, that's right. And that's really encouraging, I think. I mean, Atleti are never going to be a team that pounds 22 shots in a match, really. But if they can be creating really solid opportunities, and at least a few of them, then that's a good recipe for success.
Yeah, and as we've seen in the past, the instances where Atletico have to go pound out, you know, 20, 25 shots in the match, those are games that usually don't go very well for Atletico. My mind goes back to the Carabash game, the second one, 2 years ago.
Oh, God.
The 1-1, where Atletico had about 30 shots, and the only goal was the long-range missile from Tomas.
Which was a great goal, but yeah, they were taking terrible shots. I mean, they were from mostly outside the box, and a lot of them, in that game especially, were out of frustration more than anything else.
Yeah, those are the instances where we don't really want Atletico putting up that many shots. Usually those don't end well. But no, Atletico's kind of, the key has always been under Simeone to get high-quality chances. Take the game where we want it to go. That's Simeone's, like, classic phrase, other than partito a partito, take the game to where we feel most comfortable. And, yeah, just the high-quality chances Atletico generated. Two of them from Morata in the first half, narrowly missed inside the first 3 minutes. Very, very close to opening the scoring very quickly. Had another instance where he tried to chip the keeper Soriano, but couldn't quite get on top of it. Had a third instance late on where Atleti were already ahead, where I think he tried to square it to João Félix, but he also may not have, and Juan Soriano came out and took it off his feet anyway.
It seems like he kind of got caught in two minds about that one, because he played it, I believe, with the outside of his right foot, and it just kind of went in between shooting and passing. Either way, it was blocked by Soriano, so...
Who did play
that
well.
That was a great opportunity, though, and João Félix was not terribly impressed.
And João himself...
He leaped into the goal.
João himself had a really good chance just after halftime when he tried that the scissor kick from a Copen cross, but just skied it. Probably could have done better himself.
Yeah, he definitely could have taken a touch in the box, I think. But hey, I mean, I appreciate going for the spectacular.
Yeah, one of the keys to all those attempts really was Koke, who I think played a marvelous game. He was outstanding. Set up all those chances. That's the thing with Koke, is sometimes he does that and you don't really notice him. Other times, when he's in a more attacking rhythm, when he is playing higher up the pitch, he can create chances like this. He can be that kind of pseudo 10.
Well, the other thing I was really impressed with Koke was his leadership on the pitch. I mean, he clearly has taken this captaincy to heart, because even late on in the match, he was encouraging guys and organizing the defense to a degree in sort of a Gabby-esque way. I mean, we don't want to jump the gun here, but Koke was never the most vocal on the pitch, but he seems to be really taking to his new role.
That's right, and we talked about that in previous seasons. And Koke first wore the captain's band, I think, in 2015. And he's had the chance to learn under Gabby and Diego Godin what it takes to be a leader, to be more vocal and to kind of rally the troops. And Koke has taken that to heart. And it's something that, not that I ever thought he couldn't do it, but we hadn't really seen it.
And yeah, there was no reason to expect it.
And that kind of continuity and that kind of maturity is huge as Atletico kind of go through this revolution, this regeneration.
And, I mean, he's not going to be the Raul Garcia or even Gabby type to, like, give dudes a kick up the ass. He's more of the encouraging type, which I don't think is a bad thing, and everyone has their different leadership styles, but it's good to see him taking an active role.
Like I said, he's had a lot of time to learn and some pretty good guys to learn under.
Absolutely.
And it's important for all the new guys not to just, you know, rip them all new ones. It's kind of
it wouldn't make sense. But in Jose Jimenez, I think, did a good job in the center of the defense as well, sort of marshaling things. Of course, we have to mention Stefan Savage.
We got to talk about Stefan Savage again.
Great start to the season.
Second straight week, he's been excellent.
Well, I mean, what is going on?
Barely put a foot wrong. Just excellent in the air. Really great positional awareness. Not getting caught out. Not making dumb fouls.
I mean, stand up, Stefan Savage.
Let's go.
He was fantastic. I mean, he was dominating in the air.
Yeah, he was great. Didn't think Hermoso was all that good. He kind of had some, not necessarily positional issues, but didn't read the game quite well. Leganice did win some battles against him. Those are two very physical forwards in Braithwaite and Nasiri that he kind of struggled with. But Savage and Jimenez were great. Savage especially, again.
He seemed kind of awkward in that left center back role.
Yeah.
Even though he is a left-sided player, he didn't seem entirely comfortable out there.
Yeah, and it's a tough start to the season for him, because he comes on as a sub in the first week after Renan Lodi gets sent off. And now he starts here in a three-man defense, which Simeone never utilizes.
Yeah, and they probably weren't practicing too much in preseason, you wouldn't think. So,
yeah, so yeah, tough start
I'm inclined to give him a break.
It's also tough for him in that Stefan Savage is playing really well, and the expectation was that it was going to be Jimenez and Hermoso kind of right off the bat. Now, not saying that that won't happen. It's a very long season, and we're only two games into it. But the way Stefan Savage is playing, he's not going to go out of that 11 anytime soon.
And not even to mention Felipe, who only got, like, what, 2 minutes garbage time in this match?
Yeah,
I mean, he hasn't got a sniff of the first team.
All four center backs got to play. Cholo special.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, it's a little bit out of context, because Felipe was kind of a time-wasting, shore things up sub.
Felipe nearly scored an own goal.
Yeah.
In the 93rd minute, he nearly put the ball...
Or you could make the argument he made the right decision, heading it back to Oblak.
Made things worse. He nearly put the ball...
It was a cushioned header.
Right. Sure it was, Rob.
It was terrifying.
My man nearly put the ball in his own net. My heart went into my mouth.
I thought for sure it was a Leganés player, and then I saw the replay. I was like, good Lord.
Oh, man.
It was a good thing Oblak was paying attention.
And Oblak did make a couple good saves before then as well.
Yeah, he had a good game, I thought.
Yeah, made a couple good saves, but... like I said, Atletico for the second week in a row didn't have that many chances, but the defense held up pretty well. Better this week than against Getafe. Getafe came closer than I think Leganés did. But those opportunities, there weren't a ton of them, but Atletico didn't need a ton of them. And they were all high quality. And the highest quality opportunity, of course, was the Vitolo goal set up by João Félix, Rob.
Yeah, a great goal and a good team move as well. I mean, Kieran Trippier, we've talked about him a little bit to start the season. He started it, got the pre-assist to João Félix down the line. And it was a good bit of trickery from João Félix to get the ball into the box to Vitolo. And it was a great finish. I mean, great to see Vitolo make an impact. I mean, we've talked countless times at this point about how Vitolo really needs to get a rhythm going. And hopefully this is the start of it for him.
Yeah, he was, like we talked about, he was great in the preseason. Came on for Hermoso around the hour. Hermoso had picked up a yellow card and, again, just didn't look too comfortable. Showed that understanding with João Félix. He nearly scored against Getafe last week, but kind of scuffed his lines a little bit at the very end of the match with the scoreline still at 1-0. And Vitolo kind of helped Saul a bit in defense when he was called upon to kind of help see things out. And he just, that hard work... bit of technical quality in front of goal, great finish after a couple little dance moves there, and that's just his second league goal since he joined Atletico.
It's crazy. Kind of hard to believe. I mean, he's missed a ton of time as well, but I mean, he may be helped by the fact that Lamar's not had a great start to the season. It wouldn't surprise me to see him starting next week.
Yeah, I'm not sure how compatible Vitolo and Lamar are in the same setup, because they both kind of play the same position. Lemar did play kind of as a wing back in this match. He also early on was a deep lying playmaker, which, all right, sure, why not?
Yeah, why not?
Sure. What's the worst that happens? They're not really compatible. That was something that could have become a competition last year if Vitolo didn't keep getting hurt. This year, it may honestly really be one. I wasn't too impressed by Lemar's play on Sunday.
Yeah, he didn't really have much of an influence on the match.
Not a huge impact, and Vitolo is already having an impact. So that may be the first race, because we have Trippier versus Arias at right back. Trippier is already, like, leagues ahead of Santi Arias, the poor guy.
I mean, I wouldn't hate seeing Arias start at left back or left wing back, to be totally honest.
Can he play left back?
I mean, he's right-footed, but I'd rather him play there than Saul.
You have Savic and Hermoso. Those are two of the other prominent battles in this team. Costa and Morata plus Rodrigo. If Rodrigo comes in, that will be the other prominent battle. But Vitolo and Lemar, while that is a little overlooked, could be one that's really important.
So he could have a tough go here if he starts getting left out of the team. I mean, I think it's interesting. João Félix has such a free role, whereas when Lemar came in, he was just constrained to doing the hard work. Which is interesting. So, I don't know, maybe he will just be in a hard work role now that they have another creative player that's sort of been given the reins to this team.
Let's talk about the midfield a little bit, because this is another... Tomas Partey has started the first two games, was really good against Getafe, was not so good against Leganés. Marco Llorente is finding it a little hard to get into this team, Rob. What do you think of that?
It's interesting. I mean, I don't think Llorente did a ton when he came on. I mean, he completed 100% of his passes. He only made 6. So it's nothing amazing. He got booked. To be on for 20 minutes and only make 6 passes as a central midfielder isn't great, to say the least. But I thought Tomas was pretty good in the first half, kind of got booked and petered out in the second half. It's an interesting battle between those two. I mean, Partey had an interesting role. He was sort of the deepest of the three most of the time, which I'm not sure totally suits him. I think Llorente's probably better suited to that role. It's an interesting season for Tomas, because he's going to really have to battle it out with Llorente, I think, throughout the season. And I'm not sure that he's really capable of doing the deep-lying playmaker sort of base of the midfield stuff, spraying passes around the pitch. That's just not really his game.
His game has really evolved, and I think Marcos Llorente and Tomas Partey is a duel that Marcos right now doesn't really appear to be winning.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Llorente is going to get some of the Rodri comparisons, but I think the thing to pay attention to is that he's not really had the same level of experience that Rodri had when he came into the club. I mean, he had that one season with Alaves when he got a lot of minutes in La Liga, but since that time, he hasn't really played. So even though he's 24, he doesn't have a ton of experience, whereas Tomas, he's played a lot of minutes. They've been of varying quality, but I think Tomas is an interesting player. I've always really liked him. I don't think he's elite by any means, but I think in certain roles he can be good. I mean, he's got a good shot on him, and as kind of a box-to-box midfielder sort of type, he can really do some damage. But yeah, I don't love the role he's been in to start the year.
And Hector Herrera hasn't even played yet.
Which is really strange.
Which is weird.
I thought he would be a Simeone favorite.
Yeah, Herrera and Arias are the two guys who haven't, and Szczepanić, he was on the bench. None of those three have gotten minutes yet.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see if Rodrigo doesn't come in and Kalinic goes to Roma, as has been rumored, then maybe he'll get minutes. I mean, it's interesting that he's the guy that's been making the bench.
Over Sergio Camello, for one, or Roro Riquelme, even Manu Sanchez, potentially a backup left back. Yeah, some sorting out to do with the rest of the squad, but interesting you bring up Kalinic. Atletico may even get a transfer fee back for Kalinic, which would be stunning.
Wouldn't that be surprising?
Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, joining the old immobile striker cavalcade they have going on there with Ed Dzeko.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, they're going full target, man. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I respect it to some degree.
Oh, for sure.
Next thing they're going to get Bastosted or something.
So Kalinic to Roma, it's not on, but that's the team he's been most prominently linked with. Espanyol also inquired about him, according to the reports, but his wages, a huge stumbling block. Kalinic is apparently one of the highest earners on the team. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, I don't either.
He's a really good agent.
As well.
Really good agent, is my guess.
I guess, and it was a pretty small transfer fee Atleti paid for him, I guess was part of it. Who knows, man? But yeah, that's a weird one.
But he's still expected to go out. Angel Correa is a little less certain. He didn't play this game as he was finishing out his suspension from last season. And the latest from AS is that his move to Milan is, quote-unquote, paralyzed. No matter the context, paralyzed is just never really a word that you want to hear uttered.
No,
No, just in no context is that good to hear. But Milan apparently have not even made a formal offer for him, which the Italian reports say something wildly different, that the transfer is close, that Paolo Maldini is flying in personally to get the deal done, and I don't even know. There's a week left. If he stays, he stays. We'll have one reaction. If he leaves, he leaves. Rodrigo Moreno will come in. We'll have another reaction.
Yeah, I suppose so. I think everyone knows where we stand on this. I think it'd be best for everyone for him to go. I mean, just sort of see the entirety of the second half of last season, and you can figure out why we don't love him so much. I can see the Kalinic thing happening as well. I mean, it would leave Atleti light, so I guess the Rodrigo thing would happen. We don't know what's up with Diego Costa. I think sort of depending on where he's at with his fitness, the Rodrigo thing might be more necessary.
Yeah, Costa returned to full training on Monday.
Which is good.
So, yippee.
But you never know what's around the corner.
All right, he doesn't have any suspensions he's finishing out. He already did that. He's back in training. That's a good thing. So far, so good. You know, maybe he'll play against Eibar at the weekend.
Surely he's going to have to come off the bench. I mean, sure. Surely. I mean, they can't. With how good Morata and Felix have been at the start of the season.
Morata's playing well, but Costa and Felix, judging from the preseason, do have the better chemistry.
Yeah,
maybe Cholo starts them. Maybe Cholo starts them both.
It's strange that Morata hasn't scored, but I think he's been... Or no, he did score.
He did against Tafe.
and missed the penalty. That's right.
That's the one you remember, is the missed penalty.
Yeah, I forgot about that. But I think he's had a really good start to the season. I mean, he was imperious in the air against Leganés, as usual.
Yeah, he won, like, 9 aerials.
Yeah, he did. He was pretty beastly.
Excellent. One other note from this game. Leganés have KFC as the sponsor on their shorts.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
I thought that
it
was...
It sounded like Burger King and Getafe.
I thought that was tremendous.
Big KFC guy?
No, fried chicken guy. I think KFC is overrated.
Oh, definitely.
But, you know, we live in a world where there's so many other better fried chicken options. We have Raising Cane's out here, baby.
Oh, we got Raising Cane's.
Yeah.
Hey, don't think it's a y'all thing. We got Raising Cane's.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we got Popeyes. We got, you know, I've never been to a Bojangles. I hear it's amazing.
Oh, man, you gotta go.
I have never been to a Bojangles.
That I was just about to say, Bojangles is the one. They don't go west of the Mississippi, and it's the place.
It's authentic. I'm telling you,
get some biscuits and some chicken. You're good.
I know that this may be I would say a standard take, but an uninspired take. Chick-fil-A is probably the best. As much as I love Raising Cane's, and as much as I stand for Raising Cane's, Chick-fil-A might be the best. I have problems with their internal policies. But damn it, it's good chicken.
Yeah, they're the most consistent. I will put it out there. I don't think anyone has ever been to a nasty Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, they're all...
They don't exist.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, y'all are getting some good chicken recommendations on this podcast. We love some chicken out here.
Let us discuss the Champions League draw, Rob, which is, coming this week. The draw's on Thursday.
It's a thing that's happening. The final qualifiers are tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's about to happen, baby.
Yeah, Atletico are in pot 2.
I never try to figure out what that system is.
I gave up a long time ago. If you don't win the league, you're not in pot 1. That's all I need to know. The final qualifiers are Tuesday and Wednesday. Club Brugge, Atleti's group rivals last season, they are in one of said qualifiers.
They certainly are. I'd like to play them again.
Yeah, they're playing an Austrian team, LASK.
Never heard of them. there's some weird teams in there. The Cluj.
Cluj from Romania.
Ajax are in there somehow. I don't know how they messed up and got into the qualifiers.
Yeah, it's Ajax and Apoel, and then Red Star and Young Boys is the other one that's competitive.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you'd expect Olympiacos to go through.
Yeah, up 4-0, and then Dinamo Zagreb's up 2-0 on Rosenborg. So those are the second legs of the playoff ties. But Atletico can draw a lot of these teams out of pot 1. We're talking Juventus again. We're talking Manchester City. We're talking PSG. The big boys.
Yeah, so basically they'll get one good team and... two not so good teams, but they want Zenit. Basically,
we want Zenit.
We want Zenit.
You're like, you say that now, and then Atletico go to Russia and lose 1-0, and someone gets sent off in horrible fashion.
But we get to see exiled Malcolm out there.
We would. Yeah, Malcolm
got sent to Siberia
in the Siberian wilderness.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they shipped his ass out of there. But yeah, we'll have Zenit.
So I say you say you want Zenit.
Or Chelsea, I guess.
Chelsea again? No.
But we're good against them.
Again? God, yeah. How boring.
It's boring, but, I mean, who else would you want?
I kind of like PSG.
Yeah, they have a lot of injuries.
I think the storyline's
a thing.
The storyline would be interesting. And PSG, they're going through it right now. They're going through some times. Cavani's hurt. Mbappe is hurt. Neymar is mentally hurt.
Yeah, Neymar wants to go.
Neymar wants out.
Big time.
Yeah, so he's not really on the level. PSG would be interesting.
I don't want Bayern.
A Lucas Hernandez reunion?
Yeah, no, I'm good on that.
a Rodri reunion with City?
I mean, I'd be okay, I guess. I mean, I feel like that would be really terrifying matches. I mean, I feel like Chelsea and Zenit are the two weakest teams at this point.
And possibly PSG, depending on where they are in terms of their fitness when this thing actually gets started in a few weeks.
Right, I mean, I guess it depends on the schedule of the matches, but... Yeah, there's some interesting teams Atleti could get. Hopefully they get a couple easy ones. I mean, you're right to point out the Zenit thing. Traveling to Russia is never ideal.
Yeah, that's why I don't really want Zenit. Atletico have made those Far East trips before to Russia. When Atleti played Rostov, they played Karabaj, they played FC Astana.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the furthest.
So I'd like to avoid that.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Yeah, Pot 3, as far as we know, Pot 3 has a Valencia, but Atleti can't draw Valencia. Leverkusen, Red Bull Salzburg, Inter. Inter would be fun, just for a Godin reunion. And Lokomotiv Moscow, Genk, these are the other confirmed teams. Galatasaray, Leipzig, Atalanta, Lille. And we won't know until Wednesday, really, who can draw whom.
Leipzig would be a nasty one to get in there.
Oh, Leipzig are good.
Yeah, they're good. And that's a rough one to get as the fourth team in a group.
Yeah, if whoever gets them, that's the group of death.
Basically, yeah, you'd imagine. Yeah, and we'll see how it pans out. I mean, you're going to get some tough matches, almost certainly, in the Champions League. That's why it's such a good competition.
And Atalanta as well, they're firecrackers. They had a great season last year, finished third in Serie A.
Yeah, that would be a tough one. That would definitely be a tough one. Though if they get PSG, they couldn't get Lille, I suppose. That would be an advantage. Lyon's hanging around there as well.
Rob Walker, thank you so much for joining me.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
You can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me, your host, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at jbbarron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon and like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/Into the Calderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this program on your favorite podcasting platform, including Apple Podcasts. And stop on by the Patreon page. New bonus podcasts coming this year. So be from as little as $3 a month, you can get access to all this good stuff. patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat. We will be back next week. Until then, adios.